Now, if you've ever come face to face with the skeleton of a gigantic dinosaur in one of our museums or galleries, you can understand why these creatures have fascinated people through the years. But new research has challenged the traditional way we picture sauropods, these long-necked dinosaurs with small heads. It claims they could actually have held their heads upright, more like ostriches or giraffes. Well, Dr. Mike Taylor is one of the researchers from Portsmouth University who was involved in this study.
It's sort of going back to how they were first imagined, really, way back in the early part of the last century. All the classic drawings and paintings and murals had the sauropod dinosaurs with their long necks held high up. And it's just the last 10 or 20 years we've been seeing them much lower, and we're trying to take things back to how they were.
Yeah, what were the competing theories then? I mean, why did people start thinking that they were ground grazers?
Well, there are two lines of evidence that people have used. The most important one, I think, came from people who looked at the individual bones that make up the neck and how they best fit together. And they figured that if you put together the bones in the way that they make the most natural fit, then you get this shape of the neck that's kind of horizontal but drooping down a bit. And the other line of evidence was that if the head is held high, then that makes big demands on the heart to pump the blood all the way up to the brain.
And what is your evidence that you adduced that says, no, that's what they did?
Well, all we've done is kind of embarrassingly obvious thing, really. We've just looked at what the animals we have alive today do. So we've looked at mammals and birds and crocodiles, lizards and all sorts of other things. And we found that almost without exception, the animals we have today don't spend most of their time with their necks in this sort of natural, what would seem to be the neutral pose that the bones fit together best. Everything that we've looked at has its neck really strongly inclined at the base so that it sticks upwards. And even animals that you wouldn't think of as having a vertical neck, things like a rabbit, for example, underneath all that fur and flesh and cuddliness, the bones of its neck are vertical.
So is there some advantage to reaching up?
Well, certainly for the sauropod dinosaurs there would have been, because if you're investing all the energy and flesh and everything else into a 15-metre long neck, you really want to be doing something worthwhile with it to balance out all those costs.
Yeah, not just reaching down onto the ground that you're already
above. Yeah, exactly.
What about the more fundamental objection, which was getting the blood up to the head?
Well, that's based on work that's been going on for 30 years or more now. It's reasonably well understood what the claims are. But they're all based on equations that are extrapolated out from what's been measured on much, much, much smaller animals. So the assumption with those studies based on blood pressure has always been that very big animals are doing things in the same way as the very small ones. And I think that assumption is flawed.
What, you think they had some other way of getting the blood up other than the sort of systems that we're familiar with?
Well, you see a big variation in how much power the muscles in the hearts of different kinds of animals can exert. Not just that a big heart has more power than a small heart, but even hearts of the same size. For example, turkeys, for some reason, seem to have unusually powerful hearts. So it seems perfectly reasonable to imagine that the sauropods with those long necks would have been towards the more powerful end of that range.
So will your claims ignite a big debate among the community that studies these kind of dinosaurs? I mean, is this a hotly argued subject?
Yeah, it kind of is, and I would like nothing more than if it did ignite a debate, because for the last 10, 20 years, it's gone very quiet on neck posture, and I would love to get that argument really up and running again. And in fact, the people who are responsible for those two main lines of evidence for low necks that I mentioned, that's me and the co-authors on this new study, have been talking to them quite a bit, and they know what we're working on, and we know what they're working on, and we really hope to get a bit of back and forth going and try and thrash out all the details of how this works.
Big argument brewing in the world of dinosaur neck posture there, Dr. Mike Taylor from Portsmouth University.